This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Okay, and I am back. When I got this book, I looked at the title and it says, A Flicker of a Doubt. And I didn't have a flicker of a doubt that I was going to be having a wonderful time reading this new book by Daryl Wood Gerber. Hi, Daryl.
Hi, Patsy. How are you?
Okay. Well, you know I love your books. I love your books. Oh, the new one, well, you know, it's a fairy garden mystery, and I love it. Always reminds me of my garden in England, and I had this lovely, lovely garden. You know, in England, sometimes the properties are narrow, and your garden, I mean, it was a long, long garden. And
right.
I turned it into, it was actually a fairy garden.
Oh, how sweet.
Because I had 36 varieties of roses.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And the beautiful thing is, I had a gardener.
I planted, when I lived in Charlotte, North Carolina, I had a bevy of roses, and I was the gardener, and I swear I had to go out and get all the bugs off those things. They're hard to take care of.
Well, they are. I mean, I did a lot of the work myself, but, you know, in England, one... In those days, one could have a gardener, and he was Welsh, and he was absolutely delightful.
How sweet.
I think he was like 100 years old or something like that. But
and looking back, he was probably only 43.
Yeah, probably. But he was like a gnome. And and he thought I was a crazy American when I said to him I want 36 types of roses, and he...
And was there a reason for 36?
Well, it's double high, which 18 is a high in, you know, for Jewish people, and double high...
My husband and I got married on June 18th because of high.
Yeah, so, see, it's a good luck number.
Yeah, he was Jewish, I was Christian, and I said, oh, absolutely, let's do it.
Isn't that the way to do it? And so I wanted, well, because I was also romantic, and it also, for me and my husband, I wanted... Double high. And
I think that's,
there were already like maybe four or five varieties when I got the house. And then he loved it. Finally, he was the talk of the village. He's got this, I'm working for this crazy American lady who's got a white Cadillac and she wants the... So
in your garden, did you put gnomes and fairies and different figurines and wind chimes?
Why did you mention them? Wind chimes. Oh, my gosh, yes. I drove the butcher, the guy next door was the butcher of the village, and I think I drove him crazy with those wind chimes.
Yeah, wind chimes in a windy place can be really wonderful and magical and also annoying for someone who doesn't love them.
Yeah, I think he may, maybe, well, he was a nice guy. Let's just put that way. We didn't. So, we are now here in Making Fairy Gardens in this wonderful book. And
right.
As I said, I had... Did not have a flicker of a doubt about this. It was going to be great, filled with lots of, I'd like it, Easter eggs and red herrings, which is a nice combination.
Yeah, yeah, thank you. Yes, I work hard to make sure that I play fair with my audience and yet give them a little bit of misdirection.
Oh, yeah, you do that. So tell us about this book, and of course, we have... Your fairy, Fiona, is center stage.
Well, yeah, Fiona is center stage. I mean, Courtney is center stage because she's the fairy garden shop owner.
She likes to think she's center stage, but I'm sorry, Fiona's center stage.
Yeah, I know. She has a fairy sidekick sleuth, for those who haven't read the series. And Fiona is a teenage fairy who's trying to earn her adult wings by helping humans. And the way she helps humans is helps them solve problems. And if she can get her adult wings, maybe she can return to the fairy kingdom where she was booted out because she was too much of an imp.
Yeah, she does still manage to get people in a little bit of trouble.
She still has impishness because, after all, she is a fairy. She's charming. She's smart. She's well-read, which is really fun. I've been having a great time having Fiona, because she is a bright fairy. She can read everything. And so Joss, who works in the shop, has been getting Fiona to read Shakespeare and read Sherlock Holmes, and so she is well read, well versed, and she thinks then more like a detective because she has immersed herself in, you know, detective novels, etc. So she's really quite fun, and she plays well with Courtney because she has her own life and her own friends. Now she is allowed to have friends, and the whole book revolves around a tea that is going to feature fairy gardens as well as art and artists from Carmel. Carmel is based on artists, and it was founded from a very creative community after the earthquake in 1906 in San Francisco. And so all these creatives moved down there, and it's huge for artwork, writers, musicians, everything.
So I love Carmel.
And a very magical place to live.
I spent a lot of time in Carmel, would go there often. Wonderful writers' retreats.
Yes.
Absolutely terrific place to go, just to walk around. It's just, it is magical in itself.
Yes, it is. It is. And so for those who don't know Carmel, and many don't, it's on the coast of California, south of San Francisco, and it is a small village of adorable, charming homes. They only have one post office, and that's where you go to get your mail. You're not supposed to have a mailbox out in front of your house. The streets are, all the main roads in the little town are cobblestone sidewalks, so you're not supposed to wear high heels. There are little rules in town that you're not supposed to wear heels because you could twist your ankle. Little things like that. And once, way, way, way long ago, Clint Eastwood, the famous actor, was mayor of the town.
And, of course, Doris Day lived there. And so many famous people live there and loved just being there. People will know Pebble Beach, the golf course. You know, it's right there. So I love the location.
Yeah, you mentioned Pebble Beach. So Pebble Beach is on 17 Mile Drive, and actually that is where the tea and art show are going to be, is at an estate that's on 17 Mile Drive. And so for a while, you know, part of the action takes place there because Courtney is installing all her fairy gardens there, which are just decorative. Her father is installing a new garden for the estate owner, who is Violet Vickers. And so I play out a number of scenes at Violet Vickers' house, and you get the view of the ocean and the cypress trees and the gorgeous garden that's going in. And it's a bunch of fun.
Well, people have seen that iconic picture of the cypress tree there on the coast, there by Pebble Beach. Everybody's seen that. If they may not know where it is, but they've all seen it. And, of course, perfect location for a mystery.
Yes, absolutely. And fairies abound. Not everybody can see a fairy in town, and not everybody has a fairy that they talk to. But there are plenty of fairies, and they do bring magic to the area. And like I said, you know, Fiona is making more friends this time. She's able to reach out to her friends to help Courtney pick up some clues. And it's charming. In this one, Courtney's best friend, Megan, her ex-boyfriend, turns out to be the artistic protege for the woman that's having the tea and art show. But he wants Megan back, and Megan wants nothing to do with him. And when he winds up dead, Megan owns an art gallery. And Megan Browning is her name. Don't you love her last name, Brownie? And her partner, who's like a protective older brother to her, is suspected of killing Megan's ex-boyfriend. So, oops,
yeah. And I love how at the beginning of each chapter you have a little fairy, a little quote or a little,
yes, a little poetry.
Yeah, a little poetry in there.
And that has been some research, I'll tell you. I mean, lots of authors write poetry about fairies, but in order to put them in books, they really do have to be. They have to be free to the public audience, and so I can't just quote somebody, and they have to be, you have to have the rights to it. Anyway, so I have looked into old poetry writers, and they come from, you know, way back in the 1200s, 1300s, and I've scoured poetry books to find little quotes that I can add, and they're sweet. They sort of anchor you in the story as you get there. I mean, for example, Here's one. You know, have you ever heard the tapping of the fairy cobbler men when the moon is shining brightly through the branches in the glen? And that's by Sybil Morford. I don't have a clue who she is, but she wrote poetry called Fairies. So I found her in a book, and I love the rhythm of it, and I like that it anchors you in a fairy world each time you turn the page for a new chapter.
Yes, well, you don't want to get sued by somebody.
Exactly right.
But J.R.R. Tolkien wrote...
Those. Public domain is the term I was looking for.
Yeah. I didn't realize J.R.R. Tolkien was in public domain.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that was I love that quote. So I was going around, I read the book, and then I went back and I read those again, because I think it was a clever idea, and I love it. I think it's great.
Yeah, it's so much fun. Yeah. So, you know, it has to be back, I think, 75 years, something like that.
So, it gives you something else to do, as if you don't have enough.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned J.R.R. Tolkien, because then I opened the book and there it was right in front of me, J.R.R. Tolkien. So maybe I can read it to the people, because that would be fun.
Yeah, oh, do.
And of course it disappeared the moment I turned the page. So, okay. Well, wherever it was. But I'll read another one here.
It's on page 72 on this book, so I'll read it.
There you go. 70. Thank you. Okay.
Do you want to read it?
Nope, I've got it.
Okay.
I am off down the road where the fairy lanterns glowed and the little pretty flittermice are flying. And that's from J.R.R. Tolkien's Goblin Feet.
Flittermice. Is that nice?
Flittermice.
I love it.
You can imagine what they look like, can't you, flittermice?
Oh, yes. Oh.
They're almost like flying squirrels, but they're much tinier.
I thought it was so clever. Well, you're so clever. You're such a good writer. Oh, did I tell people? I think I didn't mention. I don't always do this because sometimes some of them, you know, I get so excited. But you are an Agatha Award-winning author, and I think we should mention that, right?
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yes.
Oh, okay.
I got that for my very first book, my Cheese Shop Mystery.
Now, that was pretty good, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, that was sort of a crowning glory. It was really nice to finally break into the writing market and then to win an award that, you know, it means a lot. What they give you is a teapot because of cozies, right? It's teapots. And so I've got a teapot sitting on my shelf that, you know, says I won an award, and it's nice. I've never won another award, but that's okay. Oh, this is very funny. Yesterday I was doing an interview, and the woman sent me prior to that. She said, is this your history? And it was like 3 minutes before the interview, and I looked at it, and I said, that's not me at all. I haven't done any of that stuff. What are you talking about? Where did you get this? It turned out, you know, these things called, and I'm going to get the letters wrong, but it's like, GPT for AI, you know, information. You can have an AI or give you, you know, a history paper.
Yeah,
you can
yeah.
say, tell me what, you know, such and such about, you know, railroads, and all of a sudden an AI and artificial intelligence will give you, you know, all sorts of writing about what you could turn into your 14, you know, your sophomore history class for a paper, which is horrible. So I looked at this and I said, you got this from an artificial intelligence? And she said, yes. And boy, did they nail it wrong.
Well, maybe they got, well, since you were an actress, I should tell my listeners.
They said that I was an editor and that I graduated from UC Davis, which I didn't. I went to Stanford. But it was, and that I had a degree in journalism.
I think you got an Oscar award, didn't you? Because you were in Murder, She Wrote. And you are a beautiful actress, and I'm sure, did you ever walk down the red carpet?
Oh, I never walked down the red carpet, though I did go to a number of award shows.
It just shows how stupid AI is, that they didn't grab that you're an actress and you're beautiful. They should have right away started that. She's this beautiful, beautiful, cozy mystery writer, is also a brilliant actress, the winner of the Oscar. And, you know, they missed out a lot.
Yeah, well, you know, I didn't. I've had a very full life, so that's good. Yeah, the AI missed, you know, some of the poignant parts, but fact that they put me at the wrong school with the wrong degree and the wrong profession. You know, they forgot that when I was in my 20s, they didn't catch that I was a caterer, that I cooked food, that I worked in a restaurant, that I ran a restaurant, that I, they didn't get all those little side jobs, that I was a legal secretary, that I was an actress, that I did voiceovers. All those little things that have built up my research, you know, because I'm actually really good at research. And I think it's because I did so many jobs while I was acting in my 20s that I learned all these different professions.
And, well, and did they get the name of your, because I happen to know that you have a golden doodle. Did they get the name right? You
didn't
still
get Sparky right either. They didn't get or that I had a golden doodle, or that I like to golf, swim, and plant fairy gardens. Which, by the way, you had 36 roses. I have at least 36 fairy gardens in my yard now.
Wow, that's fantastic. Well,
It became an obsession. I started with one, and after the one, it was like, well, I need to make more if I'm going to write a series about it. And so I would buy this little figurine and that little figurine, and then I'd see more, and I'd say, oh, I need that one, too. They're so cute. And I'd buy more, and if you buy more, you need a pot, and you need more plants. So all of a sudden, my garden is filled with fairy gardens.
And do you have them on your website? What is your website for people to find you?
My website is darylwoodgerber.com, and I do have some pictures on my website, absolutely. There are pictures on my Facebook page. There are pictures all over my Instagram page. And, yeah, I share my fairy gardens with my audience, with my fans, and they're fun to look at because they have stories. Each one tells a little story. So I don't just put a fairy into a garden and say, oh, there you go. She or he has to have a story.
Yeah.
She or they, even a they, must have a story. So I create little stories around them, and that's sort of fun. Outside my office, I have a nook of plants, and I decided to create a little fairy village. So there are numbers of little houses down there with fairies and figurines, and there's even a lake pond with a fisherman fairy. And
well, I think your books are wonderful. If I just want to add one thing, if I was AI, I would have changed the name of your dog from Sparky to Spooky.
So that's pretty funny, but he's not spooky. He is one of the sweetest golden dudes.
Well, the new book is great. It is called A Flicker of a Doubt, and Daryl Wood Gerber. I love. You know, cozy mystery series. You are so good at them. And just one of my favorite, of course, is Carol J. Perry's Witch City Mysteries, which I love.
They're very fun. I've read.
Yeah. Her are just great. And I know she's working on book 14. Finally, we're going to have some babies. She's taking a long time to get babies. It drives my sister crazy. She wanted babies about 5 books in
beyond. Oh, that's funny.
So, you create all these wonderful, wonderful fairy gardens. The book is fun. You have, and it's not just your main characters. It's also all the other characters around that you people this whole Carmel with, and a wonderful, wonderful book. So, Agatha Award-winning author. In your mind, you can be an Academy Award-winning author. Daryl Wood Gerber, I think you're fantastic.
Well, thank you, Patsy. I really appreciate it, and I always love talking to you.
Well, I have fun making graphics for you. I'll make a new graphic now for this one, because it's just so much fun.
Oh, super. Okay. Super. That would be great.
Okay. Again, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. You are a delight, and your books are a delight. And you have a cat, too, on the cover of your book.
Pixie is a ragdoll cat. Yeah, I don't have a cat. I did as girl, but we were my husband was cat allergic, so we went with a golden doodle, and we did just fine with dogs.
They're hypoallergenic or something, aren't they? Those golden doodles.
Yes. Golden doodles are, yes.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know you can make a dog. Well, anyway, that's nice. Everything is possible in this world, especially fairies, right?
Yes. Especially fairies.
Okay, again, thank you so much. Lovely cover. Kensington, of course. That's all we have
thank
to say.
Thank you. Yes, yeah, they did a great job. The artist is fabulous. She caught the magic on the page.
So, oh, yeah. You know, I mean, it's... Kensington is just the best. They make the most delightful covers. I love them so much. And you just love to look at them.
Yeah. Yep, I agree.
Okay. Well,
I agree.
Great talking to you. And get back to your fairy garden. Okay?
Okay, yeah. I've got to go write. So I've got a book to turn in. Thank you, Patsy. Really appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye now. Oh, I like her so much. She is so much fun. And, well, she's got a lot of books. Bye-bye now.